Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Welcome in, everyone, to the show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. The only progressive news show on the web with a live, interactive audience covering the stories that the mainstream media will ignore because they are bought and sold by billionaire corporations. So welcome into the show on this Tuesday evening. So glad to have you here for our afternoon edition of the show. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today because there's drama that just unfolding in the Senate over the constitutionality of the Trump impeachment proceedings. So we'll get to that, what Rand Paul just said on the floor, and got a boatload of Republicans jumped on board with him. So this really gives us a scene and an understanding of where these Republicans are going to come down on impeachment. We're waiting to hear from the President of the United States. President Biden is going to be delivering remarks on the COVID-19 pandemic and what they're doing on the vaccine front. We'll get to that in just a short amount of time. If we hear from the President in a short amount of time, we will bring that to you live. Plus, all eyes on the stimulus legislation as Senator Schumer and Bernie Sanders are ready to steamroll Republicans and ready to go forward. They had their big meeting today. They had their big caucus meeting today on the phone over Zoom or whatever. And Senator Schumer, Bernie Sanders plan to move fast. So we'll get to that, the very latest on the stimulus front and what could possibly be involved in this. Senator Sanders this afternoon really pushing big time for this $15 an hour minimum wage. He just tweeted out just literally moments ago on that exact issue, saying this is ridiculous that we are living right now with a $7.25 starvation wage when we need to be at $15. Frankly, we should be at $23. We'll show you some of the latest statistics on the minimum wage front in a moment. Also, rich people. I know this is going to shock all of you who are longtime viewers of my channel. Rich people are moving to the front of the vaccine line, especially Hollywood. Tell you about some despicable stories on the vaccine front that one out of Canada too. I was a little surprised. Canadians are getting in on the rich Canadians are even getting in on the get to the front of the line vaccine move. I'll tell you about that on the show. So welcome in. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us. Please subscribe to our daily newsletter. We publish it every morning and we work really, really hard on it. And so here you go. Just go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. Just put in your email address. And when you get the little welcome email, we send you a welcome email. Just hit me back. Just drop me an email. Say, hey, I got it, Clayton. Great. And the newsletter is, you can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee. Here's what it looks like. We cover some of the biggest stories of the day for you. And like I said, in about 5 minutes, you can peruse some of the biggest stories. We put a lot of work into it. We try to make you laugh a little bit. Cover some of the new mortgage interest rates on that front as well. Again, super easy to get some stories over your cup of coffee. It's Grover's favorite newsletter. There he is, passed out. And he thanks you, by the way. Many of you sent in your pet photos, and so we'll show you some of those on the show today as well. I can grab some of them. If they didn't import, I'm sorry about that. Let me see if I got... Yeah, I got a few of them here. I can bring them in. All right, so... Without further ado, let's get to the news. So we're going to start with the impeachment drama. The Senate this afternoon tabled an effort by Senator Rand Paul to basically force a vote on the constitutionality of President Trump's impeachment trial. Basically said this is the exact opposite of unity. This is disunity. But that vote really, forget about the vote itself, it really was an indicator of what support for Republican senators who have been sworn in as jurors for the trial would be when the actual Senate trial starts next week. So Senator Rand Paul's motion was killed, 55-45. But let's listen to what he had to say on this. He thinks the whole thing is a sham and that we shouldn't even be wasting the American people's time on this impeachment proceeding. Let's listen to him and see what you think.
In a few minutes, I will insist on a vote to affirm that this proceeding we are about to enter is unconstitutional, that impeachment of a private citizen is illegal and essentially a bill of attainder, and that no sense of fairness or due process would allow the judge in the proceeding to be a partisan Democrat already on favor of the impeachment. A sham, this is. A travesty. A dark blot on the history of our country. Shame. Shame on these angry, unhinged partisans who are putting forth this sham impeachment, deranged by their hatred of the former president.
Shame on them? Okay, really? Shame on them, Rand. That this is a stain on... Did you remember what happened on January 6th? Like, do you need a recap on what happened? How you guys all had to hide in a bunker? As people with radios and had been going through to target and grab certain members of Congress. There were gallows set up outside. Now, I'm not saying that directly Trump's fault. That's up for them to decide. But that this is a sham? And by the way, the evidence, there are some. There's reporting this afternoon that there is evidence that will come out during this trial. Which, so those Republicans who are sitting on the sideline on this and who are wanting to line up behind Paul's motion here could find out if they don't actually move forward with impeachment, that when this evidence starts to come out on what was being said behind the scenes at the White House while this was all unfolding, why the National Guard wasn't called, all of those pieces, do you really want to be on that side of history? So that's a sham? That's the part that's a sham.
Shame on those who seek blame and revenge and who choose to pervert a constitutional process while doing so. I want this body on record, every last person here. Is this how you think politics should be?
So he wanted everyone on record about the constitutionality of impeaching someone who's now, after the first part of the impeachment articles were drawn up, is now a private citizen. Well, Rand Paul's motion was killed. They all voted. 55-45. So five Republicans went along with Democrats and said, this is constitutional. But 45 Republicans chickened out. Meaning 45 Republicans voted for Rand Paul's effort in this to kill this whole thing. He told reporters that he's going to force this procedural vote on the constitutionality of a Senate trial. This was as senators were just sworn in as jurors. He says, I think there's going to be enough votes to show that more than a third of the Senate thinks that this whole proceeding, he said, quote, is unconstitutional, which will ultimately show that they don't have enough votes to do an impeachment. Meanwhile, the Democratic-led House has already voted to impeach Trump. And there were 10 Republicans who voted to impeach him as well. Over incitement of insurrection at the attack on the Capitol. Remember, five people died. Five people dead. But two-thirds of the Senate would have to vote to convict Trump after a trial, and that's an extremely high bar to clear on this. Just a short time ago, this was a live look on the Senate floor.
Ms. Cantwell.
What you're hearing is the roll call vote.
Ms. Capito. Mr. Cardin.
On that Rand Paul Harper. Procedural vote. Do they support it? Do they not? And of course, this is the vote that Paul lost.
Ms. Collins.
It's going to put senators on record now. They're on record as to whether they believe the trial of a former president is constitutional. We've never had this before.
Cornyn.
So given that the language is limited on the constitutional impeachment process, legal experts disagree about what the Senate can and cannot do. Can they convict a former president?
Mr. Kramer.
But there's been plenty of legal scholars who've pointed out on both sides of the political spectrum that say a trial is constitutional and that there is precedent for this. Remember, we've had a number of members of the government who have been impeached after they've left office. High-ranking members of the government that have been impeached after they left. Because the impeachment process is not about them leaving office. It's about removing them any government affordances after they leave. Secret Service, a pension, their inability to ever run for office again. Claire McCaskill was speaking about this earlier, former senator. She said that she had spoken to a number of Republicans that if this was quietly done, where they were able to vote anonymously, she says that they would be all over this and voting to impeach and convict Trump. But they're scared. They're scared what this is going to do to them running for re-election. They're like little mice running around. President Trump sent a warning shot earlier today, basically saying, hey, those of you that vote for impeachment, I'm coming for you. It's going to happen. Watch out. You're basically ending your career. And all these little mice are scared. Hey, but five of them were not. They thought that it is constitutional. Said one of the issues, and this little joke that Senator Rand Paul pulled a few moments ago, is this idea that Senator Patrick Leahy, the Democrat of Vermont, is going to preside over the impeachment proceedings in the Senate. Well, that's what the Constitution says. The Constitution says that if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court does not, then it would fall to the next in line. And that's Senator Patrick Leahy. Doesn't matter that he's a Democrat. He is the next senior senator who would have to preside over this. And that role does very little anyway. Remember Chief Justice Roberts during the last impeachment of Trump a year ago? He didn't do anything. He basically just calls on those people that want to present evidence, etc. That's it. He just keeps it moving along. But this argument from Rand Paul that this is somehow going to be a partisan overseeing of this proceeding is ridiculous, because in the end, it comes down to the votes from the Senate. So that, and everyone in the Senate knows it, Republicans and Democrats, they all know that it's just a procedural argument that falls flat. So that's garbage. That's totally garbage. Now, this is Rand Paul, of course, who still to this day cannot even acknowledge that the election was legitimate. And will not say that he thinks that we should not, we should be looking and studying this, and we should be looking at whether or not there was fraud and whether this election was legitimate. He has still not said that he believes this election was legitimate. He's the only one. He said this, and he got into a big fight with George Stephanopoulos over that very question on the fraud claims. And George was not having any of it, but it was a pretty entertaining moment. I don't know if you caught this, but watch.
Like to hear election questions, but yes, were there people who voted twice? Were there dead people who voted? Were there illegal aliens who voted? Yes, and we should get to the bottom of it. I'll give you an example. In my state, when we had a Democrat Secretary of State, she refused, even under federal order, to purge the rolls of illegal voters. We got a Republican Secretary of State, and he purged the rolls.
Senator Paul,
make
I have
a
to,
difference,
I,
and those things.
I have to stop
occur.
You there. There, no election is perfect, but there were 86 challenges. Filed by President Trump and his allies in court, all were dismissed. Every state certified the results after investigations, counts, and recounts. The Department of Justice, led by William Barr, said there's no widespread evidence of fraud. Can't you just say the words, election was not stolen?
What I would suggest is that if we want greater confidence in our elections, and 75% of Republicans agree with me, is that we do need to look at election integrity, and we do need to see if we can restore confidence in the elections.
Well, 75% of Republicans...
Yeah, here's an idea. How about also the suppression of voters? You want to look into that, too? Like, if you want to have a legitimate conversation about that. How about the suppression of the black vote? You want to have an honest conversation about that, Senator Rand Paul?
Americans agree with you because they were fed a big lie by President Trump and his supporters who say the election was stolen. Why can't you say
George, where you make a mistake is that people coming from the liberal side like you, you immediately say everything's a lie instead of saying there are two.
Actually, your former majority leader, Mitch McConnell, on the floor of the Senate said that President Trump lied. And these people were provoked by President Trump. That's from your Senate majority leader at the time, Mitch McConnell, said that President Trump fed them lies.
Sides to everything. Historically, what would happen is if I said that I thought there was fraud, you would interview someone else who said there wasn't. But now you insert yourself in the middle and say the absolute fact is that everything I'm saying is a lie.
Well, because, Senator, I said what the president said was a lie because he said, hold on a second. He said the election was stolen. This election was not stolen. The results were certified in every single state after counts and recounts.
You're saying that absolutely it was, you're saying there was no fraud and it's all been investigated. That's just not true.
It's not what I said, sir. I said the Department of Justice found no evidence.
Let me finish
my point.
No, you
said something that was not true.
You say we're all liars. You're just simply saying we're all liars. And
I said it was a lie that the election was stolen.
Premise that you're right and we're wrong. Well, let's talk about the specifics of it. In Wisconsin, tens of thousands of absentee votes had only the name on them and no address. Historically, those were thrown out. This time, they weren't. They made special accommodations because they said, oh, it's a pandemic, and people forgot what their address was. So they changed the law after the fact. That is wrong. That's unconstitutional. And I plan on spending the next 2 years going around state to state and fixing these problems. And I won't be cowed by liberals in the media who say, there's no evidence here, and you're a liar if you talk about election fraud. No, let's have an open debate. It's a free country.
There is no widespread evidence of election fraud that overturned the results. That was stated as well by the Department of Justice, led by President Trump's Attorney General. In Wisconsin, there were counts and recounts.
Actually, it was never studied. Even that's not true.
William Barr said that directly.
But there was, yes, he said that. Yes, that was a pronouncement. There has been no examination, thorough examination of all the states to see what problems we had and see if they could fix them.
Now, fine. Great. Do an investigation of it. But also, please be sure to include the suppression of votes in county after county after county. You want to go back and investigate what happened in Ohio a number of years ago and the suppression of the black vote there? Why in the world are there no precincts set up? Why are there so few ways for black Americans to be able to vote when you have just, an unbelievable amount of opportunities for white people to vote? Do you want to examine that as well? Why don't we look at those things? So yeah, I'm open to that. And also, why in the world are we still using these antiquated systems? Why can't we, if we can do banking online with all kinds of additional security checks, why are we still arguing about these ridiculous mechanisms so that someone like Rudy Giuliani can get out there sweating hair dye, can yell about fraud and these voting machines being faked and messed with when there was no evidence of that whatsoever? And now, by the way, he's being sued for $1.3 billion because of that. Yeah, let's investigate. Great. So you're going to spend the next 2 years going state to state, Rand Paul, like that's what you're going to spend your time doing so that you can get ready to run for president. Make no mistake about it. He's going to be running for president again. That's exactly why he's doing this. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is this guy going to run for president again? Well, enough of that. Let's talk about stimulus, because much of the conversation today up on Capitol Hill was about COVID relief. A number of meetings took place, separate from the impeachment drama this afternoon, on how exactly Joe Biden is going to try to move forward with his $2 trillion package through Congress. And whether Republicans are going to be involved in that process at all, or whether they're going to be steamrolled. So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said that he is going to bring out this budget resolution to the Senate floor as early as next week. And this is huge. Well, I'll tell you why it's huge in a second. But let's listen to Senator Schumer on why he wants to bring this to the floor immediately.
I want to thank our great leadership team of Durbin, Murray, and Stabenow for joining us as well. Now, we had a very good virtual caucus meeting an hour ago. We're all energized by the opportunities that are ahead with the new Senate majority. Our entire caucus agrees we must have big, strong, bold action to deal with this crisis. For the last six years, Leader McConnell and the Republicans turned the Senate into a legislative graveyard. Now that Leader McConnell has relented on his demand that was preventing the Senate from moving forward with an organizing resolution, we can begin work to help the American people get out of this crisis and make America bigger and better and stronger. And as I've been saying all along, the Senate will deal with three things simultaneously. Nominations, we're working to confirm more nominees this week, a fair impeachment trial, and delivering emergency COVID relief. We want to work with our Republican colleagues to advance this legislation in a bipartisan way, but the work must move forward, preferably with our Republican colleagues, but without them if we must. Time is of the essence to address this crisis. We're keeping all options open on the table, including using budget reconciliation. The first step to pursuing COVID relief legislation through reconciliation would be to pass a budget resolution. And so, in keeping our options open on our caucus call today, I inform senators to be prepared that a vote on a budget resolution could come as early as next week.
All right, so next week. An important piece of breaking news that we're learning just now, actually, that this is important because to kind of give you a sense of where Joe Biden's head is in all of this, it turns out that the reason we are now at $1.9 trillion is because Chuck Schumer pushed him there. That the COVID plan that was to come out of the White House from Joe Biden, president-elect at the time, was $1.3 trillion. Chuck Schumer and other leaders of the Senate on the Democratic side pushed Biden higher. So, and that's important, well, I think number of reasons. Number one, Chuck Schumer is running for re-election, and he could be facing a primary battle against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So you're going to see Chuck Schumer moving in a more progressive direction, a more populist direction, which is good for us. It's good for us progressives who want to see meaningful legislation passed that would actually help people, okay, like a minimum wage, health care, etc. So he's going to be acting more progressive in the next few years. And I think that was one of the first signs of it. Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about this afternoon, and she was asked about why is it now at $1.9 trillion. And Press Secretary Psaki said, well, the president arrived at it by consulting with economists, health experts, and others, quote, others being Chuck Schumer. So, yes, we can crap all over Chuck Schumer. He's a corporate Democrat in the middle of the road, yes. But here in this situation, actually pushed Team Biden higher, according to these reports this afternoon. An important little side note that I wanted to bring you. So it is important that they're going to pass this budget resolution next week, as early as next week, because it could give him the leeway to pass COVID relief by reconciliation, which only requires 51 votes in the Senate. That means, I don't need you, Republicans. That, however, does not close off the possibility of a bipartisan bill, but it does give the Democrats then the leeway to go at it totally on their own. And guess what? Republicans are not happy about it. That's not surprising, right? Senator John Thune a short time ago said he hopes the White House involves the Senate Republicans in the process. Senator Mitt Romney also coming out today saying that I think really it's going to be the White House and the Democrats' call as to whether they want to work with a bipartisan team on any of this, or whether they just want to push through reconciliation, which comes with one party participating. Another Republican who's got his white hair in a flurry is Rob Portman of Ohio, who just announced that he's retiring. He will not seek re-election. He said if the House decides to go ahead with this reconciliation approach, which means that they do not need Republicans, he said, quote, I think that it would be not just a big mistake at this stage at the start of the administration, but irresponsible given what's happened with the COVID-19 package. He said, we're willing to work with them. And he said, as we said on Sunday, we're willing to sit down and work out again a proposal that is bipartisan, that can be passed by both chambers, that helps expand on what we just passed. Okay, so just for some history here, you're now so concerned with being bipartisan on this, Republicans are. Do I take you back to the beginning of the Obama administration when Mitch McConnell then said, we're basically going to we're going to stonewall and not going to push anything through and not work with the White House on anything that they want to accomplish? What about trying to work with Democrats on any of the legislation that you tried to ram through with President Trump? Now, suddenly that you're in the minority, I think it would be a big mistake not to work with us. I'm really upset about it. Senator Bernie Sanders, though, doesn't give a rat's behind. He isn't bothered about it at all. And he said, look, he said, I'm going to push for this. He said, as you will recall, he said, I'm quoting this afternoon, he spoke to a reporter in the hallway at the Capitol. He said, as you will recall, my Republican colleagues used reconciliation to give almost $2 trillion in tax breaks to the rich and large corporations in the midst of massive income inequality, he said. They used reconciliation to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act and throw 32 million people off of health care that they had. Bernie Sanders went on to say, they used reconciliation to allow for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. He said, you know what? I think we can use reconciliation to protect the needs of working families. That's like a mic drop moment. Boom. Senator Joe Manchin, for his part of West Virginia, of course, he's right in the middle in all of this, where he always is. He says that we're just going to work out a pathway forward. We just want to make sure it's productive and bring everyone together like a kumbaya. Here's Bernie Sanders on that exact question, whether or not he's going to be working with Republicans and whether or not he gives a rat's behind.
And you've said that Joe Biden is off to a good start. Some of your progressive colleagues want him to do more. For example, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants him to forgive student loan debt. Congresswoman Cori Bush wants bigger direct payments to Americans. Congressman Jamal Bowman called for a more progressive cabinet. Are they right?
Look, we're going to push Joe as the president as far as we can. But given the fact that he's been in office for less than a week, I think he is off to a good start. What we have got to do is recognize that right now we're living in an unprecedented moment in American history. You got the pandemic, you got an economic collapse, we got climate change. We had a crumbling infrastructure, and what we have got, we have millions of people working for starvation wages. And what we have got to do is roll up our sleeves and fight for the agenda that working people throughout this country want. They want to raise that minimum wage to $15 an hour. They want that direct payment of $1,400 on top of the $600. We've got to do that. They understand that during the midst of the healthcare crisis, we cannot have millions of people being thrown out of their houses or lack health care. So we have an enormous amount of work. Then you throw in impeachment. You throw in the need to get Biden's nominees confirmed. It's a lot of work that has to be done, and we got to roll up our sleeves and do it.
So
will you work with Republicans on that? So we're going to push Joe. That's one of my big takeaways. We're going to push Joe, the president. We're going to push Joe. I mean, you know, the president. We'll push him on that.
Suggested that Democrats might need to use a process called reconciliation, which requires only 51 votes instead of the 60 to pass the coronavirus relief plan. You just heard Mitt Romney say that Republicans like him have shown that they are ready to compromise. So should Democrats move to pass coronavirus relief with 51 votes if they can't get Republican support, say, before the impeachment trial?
Well, I don't know what the word compromise means. I know that working families are living today in more economic desperation than since the Great Depression. And if Republicans are willing to work with us to address that crisis, welcome, let's do it. But what we cannot do is wait weeks and weeks and months to go forward. We have got to act now. That is what the American people want. Now, as you know, reconciliation, which is a Senate rule, was used by the Republicans under Trump to pass massive tax breaks for the rich and large corporations. It was used as an attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And what we are saying is, you use it for that, that's fine. We're going to use reconciliation, that is 50 votes in the Senate plus the vice president, to pass legislation desperately needed by working families in this country right now. You did it, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it to protect ordinary people, not just the rich and the powerful.
Boom. Another mic drop. Again, you know, when you sit back and you say, oh, he could have been the president. But the rich media elites, you know, like, it's funny, like, to have now, like, all of these stations, like CNN and MSNBC, they'll do interviews with him now that he's lost, because their rich overlords didn't want them to put Bernie Sanders on the air, right? Because they knew that their rich corporations would be affected by a Bernie Sanders presidency. But now that he's not running, now that he's not the president, sure, have him on. Have him stir up a little controversy with him and the Democrats and him with the Republicans. But wouldn't it have been nice to have him as the president? Would have been. So we're going to use budget reconciliation to not just cram through tax breaks for the rich and make sure that Wall Street's happy. We're going to do it for working class Americans. And especially when we talk about minimum wage. So he says, right now we're dealing with a $7.25 an hour is a poverty wage. And if you just look at these on the minimum wage front, Joe Sandberg tweeting just a few moments ago said, what a dollar of minimum wage is worth in 4 years is a lot less than what it's worth today. Each year, as things we need to buy get more expensive, the purchasing power of each dollar declines. We need more than $15 minimum wage now. He's right. And of course, what he's talking about is the purchasing power of the US dollar, which is tanking. So $7.25 is poverty. I mean, it is a starvation wage. And so when you look at the way in which right now the United States is, the US dollar is collapsing, the purchasing power of the US dollar is worth less tomorrow than it is today. If you put money in the bank, you know you're sitting on a huge problem if you do that. That's why I try to teach people, investing in real estate, gold, silver, things that actually will hold their value. The US dollar, when we're printing so much of it, does not. And it's not even so much about the printing of it as it is our standing around the world. And look at in comparison to the EU and China. And frankly, precious metals and gold and silver. So this amount of money that we're spending on, to try to get people to even $15 an hour isn't even enough. We should be at $23 an hour. But we continue to help the rich. And that's, of course, our focus. Take a look at this story, which is where the world's richest have now become wealthier than during the COVID, all through the COVID pandemic, as inequality continues to grow. And here, I'm just going to drop this picture in here because this afternoon, speaking of rich and out of touch, there's Steven Mnuchin, who's now out of office as the Treasury Secretary, hanging out. He just tweeted this out, posted this on Instagram, said, enjoying a new day in LA, my new suit, hanging out with my fancy glasses. Like, what does he think someone's going to message back to him when Steven Mnuchin tweets something like this? Like, right, got your fancy suit on.
Come on, man.
Exactly. So this story has me infuriated this afternoon, and we shouldn't be surprised. How many of you are surprised? Let me know in the chat if you're surprised that rich people getting vaccines ahead of other people is happening. Like, they're not supposed to be getting a vaccine yet. They're not even on the list to get a vaccine. And yet somehow money talks and they're able to get the vaccine ahead of people, frontline workers, elderly, those that most need it, doctors, psychologists, etc. Rich people in LA and other parts of the country are managing to pull this off. Not surprising at all that Hollywood elite, here's a Variety story, they're saying, describing it as, it's the Hunger Games out there, and we've got to get access. We've got to get access to our vaccine. What they're doing is they're going around the process. They're going around the normal channels, and they're basically going towards their private physicians who can quietly come over to their house and give them the vaccines, kind of go undercover and give them the vaccines. Not surprising at all. But this story stunned me out of Canada, where a couple rented a private jet and flew to a small little indigenous people's town where only 100 people in this remote village in Canada live. There were a certain number of vaccines that were designated for those 100 indigenous people in Canada. But these rich people, this rich couple from Vancouver, got on their private jet and flew in, and they got there, and everyone was wondering, like, what the hell are these people doing? We don't recognize them. Like, where do they come from? If you have 100 people in a community, guess what? Everyone knows you. So these two people show up, and they're like, yeah, we're the owners of that that one hotel in town down the street. So they lied to the people, said that they were the owners of the motel down the street. You know, you just don't see us a lot, but we're here for our vaccine. Can you just, do it and we'll be out of your hair. And Canadians are just, and this is like what you don't do in Canada, right? I guess in the United States, you get away with this, right? This is normal. Canada. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Awful. Awful. And so, you know, you think about how easy is it to get access to these vaccines right now? It's not. You know, Trump's Operation Warp Speed was great in trying to get the vaccine created, Moderna, Pfizer, etc. But the distribution of it has been a disaster. Doses going bad, people throwing out extra doses, people running out of them. We don't have enough of them. Getting access to them, you can't. Calling, trying to get information at a pharmacy, who knows? You might be on a wait list. We don't know. Good luck. Senator Dick Durbin talking about this afternoon after their conference call with other members of the Senate on this vaccine distribution. And he's furious. He's not even really talking about the rich people that are cutting the lines to get it. He's just talking about the reality of average Americans that still can't get access to this vaccine. The mess that Trump's people left in the lap of this new administration is abysmal.
We still have a battle to fight here. Go home and ask people how much access they have to vaccines. Patty has been a leader on this issue. And people don't. I can tell you in my hometown in Springfield, Illinois, calling the Sangamon County Health Department, trying to find a day when you can get a vaccination, even for eligible groups, is 50-50, whether you even get through. And that's the reality of what we faced with in terms of these vaccines. What President Biden has said is we need to get serious about this, and now, if we're not deadly serious about this, then this is going to be a deadly pandemic much, much longer. And that means moving now, ending the debate and moving forward with passing legislation to extend the vaccines and to make sure that more and more of them are being produced. That isn't the end of it. We have so many thousands of people in my state, 350,000 claiming unemployment benefits, 190,000 pandemic unemployment assistance, and 210,000 pandemic emergency unemployment compensation. These people don't have anywhere to turn. And if we're going to cut off our benefits to them, it's fundamentally unfair to these families. I was in on the ground floor of the so-called Common Sense Caucus, 908 Caucus, Bipartisan Caucus of Senators. And the reason we came up with the bill we did and gave it to the leaders to complete in December was we said this is an emergency bill affecting the first quarter of the year. So what are we going to do about the rest of it? That's what President Biden is challenging us to do, is to make sure that we do something about the rest of the year in terms of improving the economy. The cash payments for families, we can have a good argument as to the exact formula, and I think we should, but the bottom line is these families are desperate for financial assistance and they need it now. I'm just going to close. I'm not the economist and the expert in the subject, but someone who is. Janet Yellen said, without further action, we risk a longer, more painful recession now and longer-term scarring of the economy later. We've got to help the American families across the board get vaccinated, get this pandemic behind us, and get back to work.
Senator Murray. Yeah. Anyone disagree with that? Someone asked in the chat, Clayton, did you get a vaccine yet? No, I have not. I would probably be way down on the list of, like, importance of getting vaccine. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a frontline. You know, I'm not I don't deserve hazard pay. I'm not on the front lines. So no, I have not been vaccinated. Neither has anyone in my family. And I guess my dad is 86, who has COVID or had COVID. And so I guess going through that process now, I guess waiting for that negative result, test result, then I guess he would get vaccinated. I don't know. So we're still waiting on answers on that front. But you know, he got COVID when he was in the hospital. Goes to the hospital after a stroke and gets COVID in the hospital. So think about those frontline workers, those nurses and doctors who are just surrounded by it. And the precautions and the face masks and the things that they have to wear to take care of themselves so they don't then bring it home to their spouses and continue this process. So if you look at the numbers now, up to 420,000 people in the United States dead as a result of this. So this vaccine rollout is incredibly important, but then you have these horrible stories of these rich Hollywood types jumping in the front of the line. Be curious, Tom Cruise get a COVID vaccine? These kinds of people get Hollywood, vaccines out there? Disgusting. But not surprising. Not surprising at all. Hey, you sent me some photos of your doggies and different animals. Here's Grover. He was excited to see some of them today. Thank you for sending this. It's a cute pup sleep with the grandson. Here's Abby. Little pup. So thanks for sending those in, by the way. You can send them to team@morninginvest.com. We also publish that in the newsletter. So check that out. So that is the big update this afternoon, folks. Steamrolling, moving forward without Republicans on stimulus front. We're going to keep our eye on this as it unfolds over the next few days, especially on the budget front. This reconciliation process can make your eyes roll a little bit, but it's important to see if Democrats are going to have any backbone and if progressives are going to push Senator Schumer higher on stimulus. You know, will AOC be able to get $2,000 stimulus checks? Will Bernie Sanders be able to push for more on that? What sort of leniency will he have? And if they're not working with Republicans, then go big. Stop trying to dance around and do the tango with Mitt Romney and John Thune. Who cares? All these guys care about are the rich people anyway, and they're big corporations. So enough is enough. Start doing something meaningful and get actual stimulus out there to the American people. We have a petition that we created that's in our show notes. People were like, hey, where do I find the description? A lot of people emailed me earlier today wondering where that is. It's just right below this video in the description. We put our notes there. We put links to other things that we talk about in the show. We have our links for you to get $3,700 in free stocks from Webull. That's all right down there in the show description. So go down there and sign that petition for $2,000 stimulus until this pandemic ends. And by the way, change.org reached out to me where we put the petition. They said, because you've gotten so many signatures, we are promoting it all over the place. So that's great. The more people that sign it, the better. And then we can direct it towards members of Congress and get it into their offices. So please go and sign that. It's in the show description below. It's the link. Please put your name on there and get it. Let them know what you want. Okay. So thank you guys for signing that petition. Change.org has taken notice of it, and they are promoting it out. So thank you to all of you who've added your names to that. And thanks to all of you for joining us and also subscribing. And by the way, our link to our newsletter is down there and everything. If you're on mobile, I know it's a pain. If you're using an iPhone or you're using an Android device and you're using the YouTube app, I think when you're watching the video, scroll all the way to the bottom or you'll see a little carrot drop-down menu where you see what I write. I type out the show notes and links and things like that. So you've got to check that out. It's kind of buried in there. YouTube kind of buries that stuff. So anyway, all right. Grover says, thanks so much for joining us tonight on this Tuesday night. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful evening and be kind to each other. Much love to all of you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.